Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
There's no stopping Todd Zwillick. Good morning, I'm John Hockenberry, and checking in now with the Takeaway Capital correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Todd, it seems like the Gang of Six all of a sudden is the center ring in the healthcare debate. Maybe we should add a name to that. President Obama makes the Gang of Seven. If that's the center ring, what is the Senate Finance Committee going to produce this week, do you think, on healthcare?
Yeah, well, that's right, John. The president pushed this game along a lot last week when he made that speech in front of the joint session. And Max Baucus's latest deadline to have an agreement from the bipartisan Gang of Six and the Finance Committee, as you mentioned, is tomorrow. That's the 15th. Democratic aides told me over the weekend they do expect an announcement on that either tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest. Of course, these deadlines are known to slip. Now Baucus has said he's moving ahead with votes in the Finance Committee next week, whether he gets a bipartisan agreement or not. He may or may not get one, but he's going to produce a plan this week. And this plan's going to carry a lot of water for what the president said he wants in the speech, banning insurance companies from keeping you off the rolls for pre-existing conditions, banning them from dropping you if you get sick, and also, you know, some of the big picture items, insurance exchange for uninsured people in small business. What we won't see in this, John, in this finance draft is any form of public option that the president still says he wants. Instead, the committee's working on a co-op model for private nonprofits that can access on the exchange. Hopefully the idea there is to lower the price of coverage. In the House, meanwhile, I have to tell you, we're going to see what happens with South Carolina Republican Joe Wilson following the You Lie outburst of last week.
I'm sick of Joe Wilson.
Sorry, buddy.
Put it aside.
Well, here's the thing about that. They want to put it aside, okay?
Well, but it seems like the Obama administration has compromised on a lot of Joe Wilson's issues, like illegal immigrants and tort reform. What else?
Well, this was kind of a sideshow. You know, there's been a traveling sideshow that's followed Barack Obama all throughout. You know, death panels and the education speech. This is another one. And you're right. Immigration has become an issue now because of what he said. And yes, it's a side issue. It's a small issue. But they do feel like if they don't get Joe Wilson to apologize or some kind of reprimand, even though they don't want this to overtake the healthcare debate the way Henry Louis Gates did, you know, Beer Summit, if they don't do it, this only gives a reason for the next person to do the same thing. Because look, immigration's a little bit of an issue this week. They have to clarify the language in the bill because of what Joe Wilson said. So if they don't reprimand him or get him to apologize publicly, the next person's just going to do the same thing and say, hey, look, I'm a backbencher. I can get on the map too.
Well, apologies or not, it seems like a week for the conservatives on health care, whether you're Democrats or Republicans. Todd Zwillick, thanks so much. Takeaway Capital correspondent. And now let's check in with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Louise, the president is going to give a speech a year after Lehman Brothers collapsed on Wall Street, or at least a building across the street from the New York Stock Exchange. What's the significance of the timing and the place?
Well, of course, where he's giving this speech is Federal Hall, which, you know, in the early days of the country, that used to be the nation's capital, and that's where George Washington delivered the first State of the Union address. And so he's here to address Wall Street and kind of tell them that he's not forgotten about financial reform. Some of the biggest things that we're looking at in financial reform, which may be coming up in different legislation on the Hill.
Chris Dodd is going to be heading up that whole thing.
That's right. And Barney Frank has been already pushing aggressively here. Questions about derivatives, those complicated investments that had a lot of people worried during the crisis. They still exist. How do you add more transparency there? We're looking at the prospect of a systemic risk regulator who would watch everyone. And we're looking at some sort of consumer protection agency. So, you know, some people thought this might have been lost because of the healthcare debate. But on this anniversary, we've got a lot of people in Washington, as well as Obama, telling us, no, we're on it. We're going to look for change, and that change is needed.
You know, the symbolism you mentioned that George Washington gave the first State of the Union address from Federal Hall overlooking what became the stock exchange. Do you think a year ago, of course, people on Wall Street relied on Washington to save their, you know, excuse me, and I'm wondering if today Wall Street recognizes, as President Obama steps into Federal Hall, that the power of the financial sector resides in decisions made at the Fed and in Washington. Does Wall Street believe that this morning?
You know, a lot of the biggest players in Wall Street have already given the bailout money back. About $70 billion has been returned. And frankly, a lot of those companies feel that they're done. They're free of Wall Street. They're free of Washington. They're going back to their own ways. And they don't want a lot more government intervention. So that's the question. And a lot of them are even saying that they would have survived without Washington, that they just took the bailout money to help and to be, you know, cooperative.
We did you a favor by taking
the money. We did you a favor to let you save us. So
the subtext will be very important.
That's right.
Thank you. Louise Story, of course, a finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.